Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favorites. All of Colossians chapter 3. Father, we thank you for the fact that you're a loving, gracious, merciful Heavenly Father. Father, we confess, Lord, in many ways, we have not loved you or loved one another in so many ways. Often we've not read and obeyed your word as we should have. We confess our shortcomings, Lord, by faith we repent of them. Forgive us, Lord. Fill us afresh with your Spirit. And Lord, set us on fire of your Holy Spirit in a fresh way. More and more, help us to live, to seek to be carriers of your glory. Help us to seek to be believers that are full of your Spirit, who are involved with simply doing all that you've called us to do. Help us to be about the work of evangelism and discipleship as a lifestyle. Help us to be about the business of giving of ourselves sacrificially for the cause and the concerns of your kingdom. And help us to be vessels of your love any and everywhere we go. Thank you for the chance to be your ambassadors everywhere we go. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for new life. Thank you so much for Jesus and for his blood that can cover our sins. Father, thank you so much for calling us to greater things. Father, I know that once we're saved, you call us into a new identity. And Father, I ask you to teach us more about what that's about. Teach us more about what that means. Help us to experience this new life that you have for us more and more. Thank you so much, Father, for guiding us and for teaching us. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. One of the prayer tools that we may often allude to is called Kingdom Prayers Part 2, and it's one that has about a dozen or so prayers based on the Word of God. One of those is the prayer of Jabez, and my encouragement to you is that you'll email us to get a copy of the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool. Once again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. One of the prayers, again, is the prayer of Jabez, and I would encourage and challenge every listener, make it your goal to pray that over yourself every day and pray it over ministries, callings, things that you may have, because, you know, we serve a God that can take callings, opportunities, and even things and use them for his glory as we're wise enough to pray over them. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you again for this broadcast. Thank you for all of our listening family. Thank you for all those that we've prayed for today. And thank you, Father, for the work that you're going to do through this broadcast in the heart of every listener. Bless each and every one of us indeed. Expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon each one of us. Keep each one of us from evil that we may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And, of course, another one of those prayers is a prayer for wisdom. When we're wise enough to pray, like Solomon did in 1 Kings chapter 3, he asked God for wisdom to be a wise king as God would have him to be. May we be wise enough to pray daily for wisdom to help, just for the Lord to help us to be what he's called us to be. Lord, thank you for every single listener. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each of us. Thank you for all those that we've lifted up in prayer today. Thank you for this day, Lord Father. Give each of us wisdom to be and do all that you've called us to be and do today. Help us to glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And one more of the prayers is, of course, Psalm 91. And on an ongoing basis, we want to continue to remind and encourage you. Make it your goal to pray Psalm 91 over yourself and over your family every single day. Because remember, in this dangerous, crazy world, no one can protect us like the Lord can. Thank you, Lord, again, for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. And thank you for all those that are part of our listening family. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terrible night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot, because we have set our love upon you. Therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And those are some of several prayers, again, based on the Word of God that you find in the prayer tool we call Kingdom Prayers. If you'd like to get a copy of that prayer tool, simply email us. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. When these things had been done, the Jewish leaders came to me and said, "Many of the people of Israel, and even some of the priests and Levites, have not kept themselves separate from the other people living in the land. They have taken up the detestable practices of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites. For the men of Israel have married women from these people and have taken them as wives for their sons. So the holy race has become polluted by these mixed marriages. Worse yet, the leaders and officials have led the way in this outrage. When I heard this, I tore my cloak and my shirt and pulled hair from my head and beard and sat down utterly shocked. Then all who trembled at the words of God of Israel came and sat with me because of this outrage committed by the returned exiles. And I sat there utterly appalled until the time of the evening sacrifice. At the time of the sacrifice, I stood up from where I had sat in mourning with my clothes torn. I fell to my knees and lifted my hands to the Lord my God. I prayed, O my God, I am utterly ashamed. I blush to lift up my face to you, for our sins are piled higher than our heads, and our guilt has reached to the heavens. From the days of our ancestors until now, we have been steeped in sin. That is why we and our kings and our priests have been at the mercy of the pagan kings of the land. We have been killed, captured, robbed, and disgraced, just as we are today. But now we have been given a brief moment of grace, for the Lord our God has allowed a few of us to survive as a remnant. He has given us security in this holy place. Our God has brightened our eyes and granted us some relief from our slavery. For we were slaves, but in His unfailing love, our God did not abandon us in our slavery. Instead, He caused the kings of Persia to treat us favorably. He revived us so we could rebuild the temple of our God and repair its ruins. He has given us a productive wall. He has given us a protective wall in Judah and Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what can we say after all this? For once again, we have abandoned your commands. Your servants, the prophets, have warned us when we said, The land you are entering to possess, is totally defiled by the detestable practices of the people living there. From one end of the other, the land is filled with corruption. Don't let your daughters marry their sons. Don't take their daughters as wives for your sons. Don't ever promote the peace and prosperity of those nations. If you follow these instructions, you will be strong and will enjoy the good things the land produces. And you will leave this prosperity to your children forever. Verses 1 to 12, Ezra chapter 9. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we're reading through the Word of God, we'll be right back.
We're giving you
music from Planet Shakers with Heaven on Earth. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're reading through the Word of God, picking up now in the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 9, beginning at verse 8. But now we have been given a brief moment of grace, for the Lord our God has allowed a few of us to survive as a remnant. He has given us security in this holy place. Our God has brightened our eyes and granted us some relief from our slavery. For we were slaves, but in His unfailing love, our God did not abandon us in our slavery. Instead, He caused the kings of Persia to treat us favorably. He revived us so we could rebuild the temple of our God and repair its ruins. He has given us a protective wall in Judah and Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what can we say after all of this? For once again, we have abandoned your commands. Your servants, the prophets, warned us when they said, the land you are entering to possess is totally defiled by the detestable practices of the people living there. From one end to the other, the land is filled with corruption. Don't let your daughters marry their sons. Don't let your daughters marry their sons. Don't take their daughters as wives for your sons. Don't ever promote the peace and prosperity of those nations. If you follow these instructions, you will be strong and will enjoy the good things the land produces, and you will leave this prosperity to your children forever. Now we are being punished because of our wickedness and our great guilt. But we have actually been punished far less than we deserve. For you, our God, have allowed some of us to survive as a remnant. But even so, we are again breaking your commands and intermarrying with people who do these detestable things. Won't your anger be enough to destroy us, so that even this little remnant no longer survives? O Lord, God of Israel, you are just. We come before you in our guilt as nothing but an escaped remnant, though in such a condition, none of us can stand in your presence. Ezra chapter 10. While Ezra prayed and made this confession, weeping and lying face down on the ground in front of the temple of God, a very large crowd of people from Israel, men, women, and children, gathered and wept bitterly with him. Then Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, a descendant of Elam, said to Ezra, "We have been unfaithful to our God, for we have married these pagan women of the land. But in spite of this, there is hope for Israel. Let us now make a covenant with our God to divorce our pagan wives and to send them away with their children. We will follow the advice given by you and by the others who respect the commands of our God. Let it be done according to the law of God. Get up, for it is your duty to tell us how to proceed in setting things straight. We are behind you, so be strong and take action." So Ezra stood up and demanded that the leaders of the priests and the Levites and all the people of Israel swear that they would do as Shechaniah had said. And they all swore a solemn oath. Then Ezra left the front of the temple of God and went to the room of Jehohanan, son of Eliashib. He spent the night there without eating or drinking anything. He was still in mourning because of the unfaithfulness of the returned exiles. Then a proclamation was made throughout Judah and Jerusalem that all the exiles should come to Jerusalem. Those who failed to come within 3 days would, if the leaders and elders so decided, forfeit all their property and be expelled from the assembly of the exiles. Within 3 days, all the people of Judah and Benjamin had gathered in Jerusalem. This took place in December. This took place on December 19th, and all the people were sitting in the square before the temple of God. They were trembling both because of the seriousness of the matter and because it was raining. Then Ezra the priest stood and said to them, "You have committed a terrible sin. By marrying pagan women, you have increased Israel's guilt. So now confess your sin to the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and do what he demands. Separate yourselves from the people of the land and from these pagan women." Then the whole assembly raised their voices and answered, "Yes, you are right. We must do as you say." Then they added, "This isn't something that can be done in a day or two, for many of us are involved in this extremely sinful affair. And this is the rainy season, so we cannot stay out here much longer. Let our leaders act on behalf of us all. Let everyone who has a pagan wife come at a scheduled time, accompanied by the leaders and judges of his city, so that the fierce anger of our God concerning this affair may be turned away from us." So Jonathan, son of Asahel, and Jaaziah, son of Tikva, opposed this course of action, and they were supported by Meshullam and Shabbatai the Levite. So this was the plan they followed. Ezra selected leaders to represent their families, designating each of the representatives by name. On December 29, the leaders sat down to investigate the matter. By March 27, the first day of the new year, they had finished dealing with all the men who had married pagan wives. These are the priests who had married pagan wives, from the family of Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, and his brothers, Maaseiah, Eleazar, Jarib, and Gedaliah. They vowed to divorce their wives, and they each acknowledged their guilt by offering a ram as a guilt offering. From the family of Immer, Hanani and Zabadiah. From the family of Harim, Maaseiah, Elijah, Shemaiah, Jehiel, and Uzziah. From the family of Pasher, Elioenai, Maaseiah, Ishmael, Nethanel, Jozabad, and Elasa. These are the Levites who were guilty: Jozabad, Shimei, Keliah, also called Kelita, Pethahiah, Judah, and Eleazar. This is the singer who was guilty: Eliashib. These are the gatekeepers who were guilty: Shalom, Telem, and Uri. These are the other people of Israel who were guilty: from the family of Parosh, Ramiah, Isaiah, Malchijah, Mijamin, Eleazar, Hashabiah, and Benaiah. From the family of Elam, Mataniah, Zechariah, Jehiel, Abdi, Jeremoth, and Elijah. From the family of Zatu, Elioenai, Eliashib, Mataniah, Jeremoth, Zabad, and Azizah. From the family of Bebai, Jehohanan, Hananiah, Zebiah, and Athli. From the family of Benai, Meshullam, Maluk, Adiah, Jashub, Sheal, and Jeremoth. From the family of Pahath Moab, Adnah, Kilal, Benaiah, Maaseiah, Mattaniah, Bezalel, Benui, and Manasseh. From the family of Harim, Eleazar, Ishijah, Malchijah, Shemaiah, Shimeon, Benjamin, Maluk, and Shemariah. From the family of Hashem, Metani, Matatah, Zabad, Eliphelet, Jeremiah, Manasseh, and Shimei. From the family of Benai, Maadai, Amram, Uel, Benaiah, Pediah, Keluhai, Benaiah, Meremoth, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Mattani, and Jeasu. From the family of Benui, Shimei and Shelemiah, Nathan, Adiah, Macnadabai, Sheshai, Sharai, Azarel, Shelemiah, Shemariah, Shalom, Amariah, and Joseph. From the family of Nebo, Jael, Mattathiah, Zabed, Zebina, Jadai, Joel, and Benaiah. Each of these men had a pagan wife, and some even had children by these wives. End of the book of Ezra. The book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hananiah, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. Verses 1 and 2, Nehemiah chapter 1. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity for us to read your Word. Thank you for each book of the Bible. And thank you for the powerful wisdom and the unique message and messages found within each book. Lord, thank you for the important and the powerful messages from the book of Ezra. And thank you, Lord, for the powerful account of the rebuilding of the temple at that point in time in the history of Israel. And Lord, thank you for the many insights and truths we can draw as we read, meditate, and listen to Israel and how things transpired during that season in their existence. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. More and more empower us to be a people that live on our knees in the truest sense of the word. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that there's so much for us to be prayerful about. Help us to be faithful to pray for ourselves and for our families, but help us to be faithful to pray for our extended family. Help us to be faithful to pray for our community. Help us to be faithful to pray for our state governments, our governors, our city aldermen and our mayors and city aldermen. But help us to be faithful to pray for the president, the vice president, each member of Congress, each member of the Supreme Court, and each member of, again, Congress as well. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Set us on fire with the spirit of prayer, Lord. Thank you for us as a nation, Lord, and thank you for us as the church, and thank you for the chance to know you, to serve you, and to be ambassadors that represent you everywhere we go. Lord, help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet in Jesus' name. We thank you and praise you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. We'll be back. Elevation Worship with Oh Sing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Father, more and more, help us as your people to grow an understanding of the tremendous importance of very simply reading and meditating on your word every single day. Father, more and more, cause the fire of passion and grace in our lives that encourages us to get into your word to grow. Help us to know that when we're reading and meditating in your word, we're pouring grace, peace, joy, power, and life into our hearts, our minds, our lives. And help us to know, Lord, that we can't get too much of that. Help us more and more to be wise enough to make it the priority you would have us to make it of getting into your word every day. And help us as parents and grandparents and those that work with youth to be wise enough to make it the priority you want us to make it to help teach and train our children the importance of getting into your word every single day as well. We thank and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We pick up now reading through the word of God in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him so that he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend.'" Reading that again. "When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people have longed to see what you see, but they don't see it. And they have longed to hear what you hear, but they don't hear it." Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the words of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. "Here is another story," Jesus told. "The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the worker slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, 'Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?' 'An enemy has done this,' the farmer exclaimed. 'Should we pull out the weeds?' they asked. 'No,' he replied. 'You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them in bundles, and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn.'" Here is another illustration Jesus used. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches." Jesus also used this illustration. "The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet. I will speak to you in parables. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. Then, leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, "Please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field." Jesus replied, "The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom." The people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand all these things? Yes, they said, we do. Verses 1 through 51, Matthew chapter 13. Thank you again, Father, for your word. Thank you for the power in your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that as we read and study your word, we're pouring grace more and more into our hearts, our minds, our lives. And Father, thank you for the many blessings that are ours because we take time to do that. Father, in a world full of mass distractions, help us to be wise enough to make your word the priority in our lives that you would have it to be. Help us to live so that more and more your word becomes the loudest voice in our life, in a world full of voices that come from so many directions. Help us to know, Lord, that your voice is the voice that we need to be hearing. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to hear and listen to it as much as we choose to. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. And as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to be your Lord and Savior, and to save you, today is a wonderful day to make that step. Would you, from your heart, pray this prayer and commit your whole life to the Lord? If so, please pray this prayer with us even now. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live for you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to follow you and obey you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to hear from you. Again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to really grow strong and put down roots deep in your new relationship with Christ. Again, please do get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. If you don't already have the habit of reading 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a wonderful day to start that habit, a habit that'll bless your socks off. Hope that you'll do it. And parents, having your children read 3 chapters aloud to you every day is such a blessed habit that will bless them and bless you as well. Hope you'll start that as well. Thank you for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.